She's a tiny woman with a great big pen, one that she once used to mark the papers of her AP English students and now uses to write comedy, fiction, poetry, and plays. Good evening, I'm Elaine Deal. Tonight, we'll catch up with Terry Foltz, one of the busiest retirees in town. Terry, thanks for slowing down a minute to visit WVXU.
Well, thanks for having me here. This is great.
Terry, you retired from Highlands High School.
I did.
In Bellevue, Kentucky, after a long, wonderful teaching career, so wonderful that it made you nuts sometimes, right?
That is true.
But you took those stories and all those years of experience and the people you met across the years of teaching into your first stand-up routine.
I did.
What in the world gave you the idea to turn it into comedy, and where did you get the nerve to stand up and do it?
My brother gave me a gift certificate to the Funny Bone on the levee. And so I thought I would just go to a comedy show, so I got on the website, and they were giving stand-up comedy lessons with Jeff Jenna. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to try it. And so I did, and the day that we had our graduation, it got a lot of press because I was a former teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my faculty members came to the show, and so I guess I was kind of a hit with them because I talked about the experiences that we all had teaching. So I got a write-up in the paper, and that just kind of started it.
So the comedy came first, and then you took that and turned it into your first full-length play called The Faculty Lounge. It's a collection of monologues and short scenes, but it is connected by a plot. And to me, the real star of that show is the writing. I mean, some of it is really funny, and some of it just breaks your heart. But the thing that really spoke to me is seeing education from the teacher's point of view. Did you ever get whiplash kind of going back and forth between the humor and the tragedy?
I really didn't, because the job is a mixture of both on any given day. You find yourself laughing in the lounge and you find yourself crying in the lounge.
How much of your life is in the faculty lounge?
I would say that every story in the faculty lounge either happened to me or it happened to one of my colleagues.
And I loved how at the opening production of the show, you had big notebooks in the reception area for people to write down the name of a favorite teacher or a teacher who maybe impacted their lives. Everyone smiled as they wrote down.
Oh,
they thought back
great.
To high school or grade school or college and thought of that teacher. Now, the Faculty Lounge has been produced twice here in Northern Kentucky, and it's on the road to Chicago. How did that come about?
I think this company called the Oil Lamp Theater outside Chicago saw it on a new play exchange online where I had posted it. And they had also done one of my short plays called The Off Chance, and they had traveled with that to senior centers around Chicago. And so when they were looking for a full-length play to add to their season, they went back to me and saw that I had a full-length play. So I'm very excited about it.
That's this summer at the Oil Lamp Theater in
right.
Chicago, the Faculty Lounge. Are you going to attend opening
night? Of course
night?
I am. I don't know if I'll be there opening night, but it opens June 22nd, and it plays all the way to the middle of August because it's a very small venue. So they do it many times.
As a living playwright who has also directed plays, how much involvement do you have or do you want to have in a production of a play that you wrote?
Well, I've never directed it. I did kind of co-direct or produce the very first time when it was at the Carnegie in Covington. So I had a lot of input there. And I had asked one of my dearest friends, Danny Davies, to direct, and he did. The second time when it was done at Village Players, I had nothing to do with it. It was just a delight to go and watch another person's interpretation. So I think I'll feel the same way when I go to Chicago.
Your second full-length play is finished. You're going to have the first reading.
April 30th at MoCA in Newport. Upstairs, they have a wonderful venue for play reading.
And the subject of this play?
Well, it's about a high school student. It's called Incorrigible, which is what he has been called in his high school career. He fights a lot. It is not a comedy, although I'm hoping that there are parts that are funny. But it's really about the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt, of course, can be a very positive emotion, keeps you from doing the same mistake twice. But shame is something difficult to get rid of, and it tells you that you're no good, that you're not worthy. And so all of the characters in one way or another deal with shame and how to rid themselves of it.
We're talking with writer Terry Foltz, talking about her second full-length play, which will be read at the end of April. Are there prospects for production on this one yet, Terry?
Not yet, but I'm hoping to.
How useful are these preliminary readings?
Well, they're very helpful to me because I have lots of questions that I want to ask the audience, and I will take what they say into consideration, definitely. So I'm hoping that people with some experience in theater directing and acting will come and give me some feedback.
You're very active in the group Women Writing for a Change. What's that input? How does that dynamic affect your writing?
It really jump-started my writing. As soon as I retired, I had heard about Women Writing for a Change for years. You know, it's 25 years old in our community. I had heard about it for so long, but never investigated, and saw it again as soon as I retired. And I thought, okay, this might get me started on something in retirement. And oh my heavens, the support and just the inspiration. Such wonderful, wonderful writers in that community.
What's the difference in watching an actor create a role, as they will in your new plays, versus directing an actor who is recreating a role or interpreting a role from, say, Arthur Miller or Shakespeare?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm hoping that they capture what I had in mind when I wrote it, but I'm also interested in what they read into it themselves.
What's a pint-sized play, Terry?
A pint-sized play is something that was inspiring to me from Wales. I first saw it on Play Submission Helper, which is where I go when I want to submit my plays. And I saw that they were looking for 10-minute plays, which is the big craze these days. So I read about it, and they do them in bars all over Wales. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. So I talked to my friend Angela Clokey Forbes, and I said, I think we could do that here. We could create this bar entertainment with 10-minute plays. And so we've done that, and it's kind of combined with drinking games and trivia games and keeps everybody entertained. And, of course, all the 10-minute plays are comedy, so we keep it light.
Do you think that is because people today have a shorter attention span, or you just, the high energy of the evening is a hit in a bar situation?
Well, and that's what we say, is that it's meant for those with short attention spans. But I also think people just like stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they get stories when they listen to music, but they also get stories when they listen to plays. And so far, the plays have resonated with them, and they just like the story.
How do you determine if a particular character or situation is better suited to your stand-up routine, to a pint-sized play, or to a full-length?
I really kind of retired from the stand-up scene.
Oh, did you?
So I'm not necessarily looking for material for stand-up anymore, mm-hmm. mainly because I do want to devote my time to writing other things. And writing for stand-up is so difficult. You know, it's much easier to write a play or a poem than it is to write stand-up. So I'm always looking at interesting characters that I meet, thinking, oh, that would be a fun character to put in a play.
So you do indeed write poetry, and April is Poetry Month, and you'll be reading some of your poems at the Cold Spring Library on the 27th. Would you care to read one for us?
I would. I chose a poem for two reasons. First of all, it honors my mother, and second of all, it's about Girl Scout cookies. And it's, I think, Thursday, mine are being delivered, so I'm very happy about that.
I'll be over.
It's called The Value of a Dollar. I was 12. My mother, a volunteer with the Girl Scouts, was assigned the task of collecting cookie money past due. She took me with her into a neighborhood unlike our own. Some houses had no curtains, boards for windows. Men smoking on their stoops watched us as we got out of the car. My mother knocked on a door with her arms securely around my shoulders. A woman opened the door just enough for the image to be branded on my 12-year-old mind. Two little children, in only underpants, huddled close and yet shivering on a soiled mattress on the floor of a bare room. They stared at me, frightened, I suppose, and I stared too in a way my mother always said was rude. Their mother looked down when she explained to my mother in a tone a little too earnest that she would have the money next week. Could she come back then? My mother lied and said sure. In the car on the way home, she told me we would not go back. They don't have the money, she said. They spent it on food or they ate the cookies. I was schooled in compassion by my mother. I learned the value of money, not gained, but lost.
We've been visiting with playwright, poet, and retired stand-up comic Terry Foltz, who describes herself as a lover of all things that make her think or laugh or cry or wonder. Terry, where can people get information on your theatrical productions? Is there a website or a Facebook page?
There is a Facebook page. There's one for pint-sized plays. And then they can also just look me up, Terry Foltz,
with one R.
With one R. It's a four-letter word.
And we'll link to that on our website, wvxu.org. Terry, thank you so much for visiting. Good luck with the run in Chicago, a faculty lounge this summer. Or around Cincinnati, I'm Elaine Dean.
But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads. They say I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living it.